Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, January 8th, 2021. It's just after 20 UTC as we are recording this. I'm Sam Minter, Yvonne Beau is here, and holy crap, what a week.
Oh God, what a fucking week.
Just to get it off the record here, this was going to be our review of our 2020 predictions. We're throwing that all out the window. We'll do something at some point. Maybe we won't even do a full show on it, because frankly, I'm kind of assuming next week is going to be a busy news week too. I don't know, maybe not. But one way or another, we'll get to that
review at some point. But unfortunately, our nation.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll just be me saying, here are the stats we got out of it. I don't know. We'll see. But today, this week, there was no way we could do that this week. Like, I couldn't, you know.
I don't, let's be clear. This is, what just happened this week was unprecedented in the history of our nation. I mean, you basically have to go back to the Civil War, to the assassination of President Lincoln, because other assassinations were, I don't know. There were like one, you know, when Kennedy was assassinated, there was no political group specifically that claimed responsibility. And it wasn't like, you know, a whole bunch of Nixonites decided to go and like get Kennedy. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, just to be clear, no one was assassinated.
No. But what I'm saying is, in terms of a political event and the magnitude of it. Okay, because you're saying nobody was assassinated. Well, five people are dead. Okay, but what I'm saying is that it the assassination of a president and what happened are attacks at our institutions that maintain our democracy. Okay. Mm-hmm. And such attacks that reach the top level of our government are not common.
No. And ones that are, I mean, you said, you know, no one this time has claimed responsibility per se. I mean, in fact, they're out there denying it and saying it's Antifa and all this kind of bull crap.
Well, we know who they are. I mean, we keep fighting who the hell they are. I mean, that's a whole bunch of shit.
Yes. Now I think, I mean, I'm going to assume everybody out here has followed the news and knows what's going to happen. So we're not going to do like 10 minutes just recapping what happened this week. But I want to start out with, we are damn lucky it wasn't a lot worse than it was.
Listen, you were saying that nobody was assassinated, but It picture showed that these guys wanted to take hostages.
They were at least a portion of it. And that's one interesting part of this, is there seem to be at least two classes of people involved here. One is the absolute Yahoo nut job Q people, or just other like Yahoos who are just sort of going along with the crowd and aren't particularly smart and whatever. But there did seem to be a small group of like clearly military trained people who knew what the fuck they were doing and had a plan.
Right.
And from the looks of that plan, I mean, we don't right now, look, as we are recording this, we still don't know a lot. And chances are, you know, we're recording this earlier than we normally do because of, yeah, well, I shouldn't say that. We're recording this Friday in the middle of the day, okay? I have no doubt that things will change further. We will learn more before I even get this stupid episode out. Things are moving very quickly, but it appears that at least a small group of these folks had a plan to go in there and potentially take hostages, at the very least, if not kill congresspeople.
Well, we're also, listen, let's But two pipe bombs were also discovered in front of the RNC and the DNC. This goes beyond even that.
And I've seen reports unconfirmed at this point of also additional caches of weapons. And I saw one report of like napalm somewhere that they found. Now, again, fog of war, all kinds of like things are spinning around and
okay. Those are the unconfirmed. Confirmed ones are there were two pipe bombs found in front of the RNC and DNC.
Yes. Confirmed are two pipe bombs, and a number of the people who invaded the Capitol were indeed armed.
And prepared for significant mayhem. Okay? They weren't just going in to just sit at Nancy Pelosi's desk.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have sort of focused on that guy with, like, the horns and the people who look like idiots, okay? And who are just running around with flags and blah, blah, blah. But the one picture that's a lot more chilling is that one of the guy in the House chamber with the zip tie handcuffs, and he's clearly armed. He's got all kinds of body armor on, you know... There were some serious people involved here who had some sort of plan. Now, and along with them, clearly, were a whole bunch of people who were just like, yeah, let's go, and got there and then had no idea what to do next. But it could have been so much worse than it was. I mean, they could have taken hostages. They could have killed more people. One police officer was killed. They could have set fire to the damn Capitol. They could have done all kinds of things. But luckily, the worst did not happen. But but even what we did have, I mean, you know, I was going to note, last week was our prediction show, and of course, we predicted none of this. And I noted on our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack that we didn't even ask the question about political violence at all. You know, and I'll tell
you know what, and we had talked about it in weeks before, and we forgot.
Well, we had, we forgot. But here's the thing: like, even if we had remembered to ask a prediction question on political violence, I'll tell you my honest assessment a week ago would have been: yeah, of course, a bunch of Yahoo MAGA heads are going to try something, but nothing will come of it.
I figured I was pretty sure that that we would have a something was going to happen, but not of this scale.
Right. I mean, like, I had seen the reports about people planning to storm the Capitol and such. I just assumed it would be a bunch of Yahoo idiots who tried to do so and failed and would be pushed back by security and they would make some noise. But I would definitely not have predicted, okay, they're going to breach the Capitol and take over the building for a couple hours and cause a major problem.
And so, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that was definitely unprecedented. And I don't think we could have imagined it. I would have thought, and I think this is the biggest thing that is a shock and that, of course, has led to a number of resignations already at this point, was the absolute lax security that had been instituted for this. Given all the threats that we had heard, okay? I mean, because we had heard all the threats and you know, there were a lot of very angry people, and we had seen a lot of this anger displayed already many times during this year, and we weren't talking about just at this moment that was a pivotal moment specifically, and all of a sudden we wind up with that, right? And I'm expecting, well, I mean, they're going to be prepared, right? And then when you see the videos, it's very obvious that they just weren't prepared for any. They have their emergency contingencies inside in order to secure people. But in terms of enforcing, and obviously those worked because they were able to move everybody to a secure location and protect them during all of this mayhem. Okay.
Yes. I mean, this is key to, like, you know, they were able to get all the Congress people out of the way before, you know, that guy with with the zip ties ended up on the floor of the house.
Correct. Correct. Exactly. They were able to do that. So they had that part of their planning was in place and worked. But what definitely they just didn't prepare for was how to properly secure the perimeter. And I think that the one thing that people said as before,
this gets back to what I was saying. I mean, yes, I had seen some of the reports about the MAGA idiots planning to march on the Capitol and trying to, and even more than march on the Capitol, to try to like take over. I mean, what they actually did, I had seen some of those reports. Like there was chatter on Twitter and there was watch out for those guys. But that, yes, the assumption was that there would be adequate security that basically, okay, these guys can like make some noise, but they're not actually going to get in.
Well, but we have seen the security that is displayed before for groups that have been there and secured certain locations, you know, with far more firepower.
Like all the pictures we've been seeing on the Capitol itself during the Black Lives Matter protests.
Right.
You know, and now apparently there was at least some counter reaction to that, where the police had gotten a lot of criticism for overreacting to that. And so they were actually told by like DC to tone it down a little bit. But I think there's more to that than this.
Listen, I'm sorry. There's one thing about because I think that it was the overt show, right? Where mm-hmm. it was provocative, right? You could be prepared and not be overt and provocative, okay? You know, the people could be, okay, great. So let's not have them all out there like it's, a military prison that we're running here.
Right.
But how about we have them inside, and if, you know, we know that something's going on, then we deploy the number of people so it doesn't look like a massive act of provocation. I think that they swung to the point, oh, well, let's not have anybody. Oh, it's a bunch of white people. They're not going to do anything. I'm like, and honestly, that's what it feels like. And it actually feels like, fuck that. I think that's the assumption they did.
No, I mean, and some of the interviews and other things you've seen so far sort of indicate that there's a lot of, and I'm talking interviews, I'm talking about tweets from people who know people who are on the Capitol Police and retired. I'm talking about a variety of things. It definitely seems that that is a clear part of it, that this march was just not determined to be a threat. And so they didn't act like it was a threat. So security was a lot less than it could have been. They didn't call in reinforcements. It was just the Capitol Police, at least at first. Obviously, it escalated over the course of the day. And then, of course, you've got these pictures, at least two videos of different locations where it certainly looks like the police let the protesters in. And you've also got reports of various protesters flashing like badges of off-duty police badges and things like that.
Well, for the most part, the ones that I've seen, that's not been the case. Look, I saw them attack the police. I saw them overrun the fences. There has been videos repeatedly that have shown that that's been the case. I do think that in certain cases, the police felt outnumbered and they retreated.
I think it's clear from the videos I've seen at this point that both happened at certain points. There are multiple videos where you see the police outnumbered and clearly overtaken by the crowd and retreating because they had to, otherwise bad things would have happened to them. There are other cases where it looks like the crowd is behind a barrier or a door and they just decide to let them in. Both seem to have happened in different scenarios. I've seen some videos that are one and some videos that are the other, but these are in different places. So it's not like the same video from different angles. Look, there are clear issues about, the response that are multifaceted. On the one hand, they were clearly outnumbered and outmanned from the beginning because they hadn't prepared properly for the scale.
Yes. 100%.
On the other hand, there is a decent amount of evidence, and obviously yet to be investigated, that there were a number of people amongst the police force who were kind of okay with these folks and were treating them extremely gently and nicely. There were reports that they, you know, one Capitol Police officer gave one of the rioters directions to an office.
Yes, yes. To Schumer's office, yes.
To Schumer's office. There are other officers taking selfies with these people. Now, that's clearly not all of them. There's a big mix here, but there's clearly problems.
But it's also because there's also a big mix of people. Like, you were talking about how there were certain people that were just like, yeah, look, cool, we're inside the Capitol, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, like we talked about the guys that were armed, zip tied, something, whatever. The people that were like, you know, physically assaulting certain of the perimeter and doors, and the people who I saw physically beat and punch officers. And, well, you know, like the police officer that was killed basically because he was hit on the head with a fire extinguisher.
Yep.
I mean, I think that because of the size and because of the scope and because of how everything went, not everything in every corner and every group was doing the same.
No, absolutely.
And so the officers reacted differently to the different people.
I want to be clear here too. There's been a lot of, you know, comparison to the response to Black Lives Matter and saying, hey, if these were black people storming the Capitol, they would have all been shot, et cetera, et cetera. And I definitely agree with a lot of that comparison. But to be absolutely clear, the takeaway from that is not, you know, you should have just shot everybody.
Hey, let's just shoot. Yeah, everybody should have. Yeah, they should have just like strafed everybody like with machine guns.
The right place to be is probably somewhere between these two. There was an overreaction when you have the Black Lives Matter. And just generally speaking, law enforcement seems to continuously overreact to anything involving black people. And in some cases, other minorities as well. But in this case, it was clear an underreaction. Like there were situations there where they would have been perfectly justified using a lot more force than they did. Now, on the one hand, I want them to use some restraint and some judgment and not just go after everybody. I don't think the right answer would have been to be a lot more violent. The right answer would have been be properly prepared. But certainly once you had people trying to breach the parts of the building where Congress people were, they needed to do their jobs. And I think they did. There are a lot of videos coming out of where, once we got to the later part of the day, the Capitol Police and the other police that were brought in, used a decent amount of force to clear the Capitol out and get it back under control. It's just earlier in the day, they seemed completely unprepared and were overwhelmed and just let these folks in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think that in some cases, that's what it is. But look, let's be clear something about the Capitol. The Capitol is not exactly also, and this is where it just gets tricky and confusing. Okay. Because the Capitol is not exactly a building that's historically been super secure.
It's not a fortress.
It's not a fortress.
It's not even what the White House is, right?
It's not like the White House. I mean, to get into the White House right now, you need, like, it used to be that they had tours. After September 11th, you had to go through your congressman to get on a list for a tour. At the Capitol has a visitor center. I remember as a kid roaming through the Capitol. I mean, roaming through the Capitol, I just bumped into H.W. Bush, who was at that time vice president, just roaming through. I mean, I had him like 15 feet away from me. Secret Service just said all of a sudden, oh, wait, stop walking, just stop here. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't even know it was Secret Service at the moment. I'm like some security guy. And I'm like, oh, okay, no problem. Let me stop. And then all of a sudden I see H.W. Bush going and waving at me. Hey, how are you? I'm like, okay. But that's how the Capitol has been. And this is even after, you know, some people are saying that, well, the last time the Capitol was breached was in the 1800s. Well, it's not true. Unfortunately, my compatriots from Puerto Rico were the ones who really did the last really big violent act at the Capitol were in the 1950s. A group of pro-independence terrorists attacked the Capitol and actually fired, I think they seriously injured or killed somebody in the Capitol. It was a very serious breach. And after that, security had been beefed up at the Capitol, which is why they had metal detectors and all these things. So people just couldn't go into the gallery in that way because of that incident. But even still,
I have seen people starting to correct themselves. Like at first they were like, first breach like this since the, 1812 or whenever it was. I've heard people start to say biggest since then, which would actually be true. But yeah,
because the group of Puerto Rican terrorists, I think numbered four of them that they went in. But the bullet hole, I'll tell you what, the bullet holes will stir on the ceiling of the Capitol when I went to visit it in the 1980s.
Right.
I mean, that was like always something. I took the tour and I didn't know about this. I remember that I learned about this during a tour that I took of the Capitol. And then, they're saying, of course, me being Puerto Rican, that he starts, oh yeah, a group of Puerto Ricans came in and shot up everybody in Lubbock. Oh, I'm just like slumping into my chair. Oh, Jesus Christ. And look, you can see the bullets up there. You can see the bullet hole up there. I'm like, oh, great. Beautiful. We shot up the damn place. I wasn't feeling exactly right that day about that.
So continuing on with this, and obviously there are a lot of aspects of this to cover, but as they took control of the Capitol again, they basically just established a perimeter and started pushing it out and out and out. But they didn't arrest very many people at all. They just sort of told them to leave and pushed them out. There's some logistical reasons why maybe that's the smart way to do it. That minimized bloodshed and violence and all that kind of stuff. But what it means is that now after the fact, they're putting out all kinds of, can you identify this person? And if you have any tips, call the FBI and all this kind of stuff. And apparently, the number of arrests is increasing several times this morning already. I've seen reports of some of the players that you've seen on the videos with their faces clear, being arrested one by one. So we'll see. I mean, I think they seem to be taking it seriously and pushing forward. One of the open questions is, are they going to go beyond, the people who are actually in the Capitol to people who are instigating and planning? Can they find any, like we were saying, it looks like there might have been a more organized plan around what to do. If so, can they identify who was doing the planning and go after them? Because clearly that would be, if there was an organized plan to actually take over and kidnap some Congress people.
Look, we have already seen a series of arrests today. I think they know. Okay, there's already been series of charges, arrests.
Yes.
Even the person who placed the IEDs, there's a wanted poster with a picture of who the hell did it, trying to find who the heck it is. So I do think right now we definitely are... This is not going to go unpunished. There's people going to jail. Okay. There are people facing some serious time. There are people facing murder charges.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how serious this is.
And this could potentially go after a bunch more people for felony murder, which basically says,
correct.
And I'm going to get the details of this wrong, but basically it says your crime can be upped. If anybody was killed, even if you weren't the one doing the killing.
Right. Exactly.
And so, but again, one of the opening questions is who, like, for instance, all of this thing seems to be there was a rally earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Where a whole bunch of speakers, including President Trump, but not limited to him, there were a whole bunch of other folks, his children, some other elected officials, all kinds of folks, basically saying, go to the Capitol.
Yep. Yep.
You know, be strong, be whatever. Now, did they say take over the Capitol and try to kill people? No, obviously not. But there was a lot of very heated rhetoric about not accepting the result and how they can influence their Congress people and whatever. Does any of that rise to the level where it could be incitement in a chargeable sense? I'm guessing the answer is no, but some of it's got to be close. I think the more interesting question will be, was there any actual coordination? I've seen a number of quotes, like Senator Sasse mentioned at one point that he was talking to people in the White House who were, quote unquote, in close contact with the rioters. So what kind of close contact was there? Was there any actual coordination between people in the administration? And that would blow open everything if there was. Because right now, as best we know, it's like, you know, Trump and his people used a lot of heated language at a rally, saying, you know, the election's being stolen, march to the Capitol, blah, blah, blah. But without crossing the line into specifically telling people to do anything illegal, if any evidence comes up that there was actual, like, hey, let's do X, Y, Z, that changes the picture dramatically.
Right. I think that is exactly what changes the picture.
And to be clear, that has not come out yet. And nothing like that has been.
We're trying to examine here the difference between criminality and just the actual irresponsible acts. Okay?
Yes.
Taking out the criminality from it, these guys, and I think Mitt Romney said it best. He said that when they charged in, his quote was, something like, you know, well, this is what you brought this on.
Yep.
You brought this on. So, you know, and so, yeah, they brought this on. I mean, they did.
And by the way, I'm seeing news alerts as we are recording that the DOJ is saying they do not expect to bring charges of incitement against speakers at the rally.
Yeah, because it may be that whatever, it has to be, you know, that line of criminality is just very hard, especially just for giving a speech. Yeah, okay.
And I think they were... Honestly, like, they knew what line not to cross.
They knew what line not to cross, and this is the reason why I'm trying to, you know, bridge the difference between what the hell is illegal and what the hell is irresponsible. What they did was beyond irresponsible. And I think impeachable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From the side of the president. Okay? But maybe it's not something that could go to a criminal court, but it sure as hell, you know, they sure as hell, you know, brought this on. They sowed the seeds. They stoked the flame. They fanned it completely. It was their doing. They are the ones that kept lying about this damn election for 2 months. And they kept saying, stop the steal, all this shit, over and over. And then, you know, you bring them in there, you get them all pissed off. You get them to go to the fucking Capitol. Then you tell them to go all the way up there. You got them all riled up until boom.
Right. So, which brings up the fact, this whole thing was timed to interrupt the counting of the electoral votes.
Correct.
Which it succeeded in. It delayed that by like 12 hours or something.
It wasn't 12, 7 hours. They went from like, it was at, they escorted everybody from there. It stopped at one. It was actually late. No, it was at 2:30 in the afternoon that Eastern time that it got broken up. And they reassembled at 8 p.m. So it was less than 6 hours.
Okay.
In total.
Fine. Fine. The amount of time was not relevant to what I was going to say, but fine. Six hours.
But
not that 12. Was an
increment, but it makes a, I'm sorry, 12 hours. They didn't restart at 2:30 in the morning.
Okay.
That's a big difference.
Yes. Yes. I admit. Thank you for the correction. Anyway, my point was going to be, if I can even remember it. Yes, I know. Come on. Was it the purpose of this and the timing of this was to interrupt that process?
Correct.
At the end of this, they did come back and they completed it. There was some question earlier in the day whether they'd be able to, whether they'd have to do it in another location, whether they'd have to wait a day, blah, blah, blah. But all of the congressional leadership and Vice President Pence were determined to get back into the Capitol and finish what they were doing and finish it that night. And they did. And during that process, I made some comments. You know, Pence made an incredibly good speech. McConnell made an incredibly good speech. Even Lindsey Graham made a good speech where they said all of the right things and you know, sort of unifying, we're going to complete our process. Arguably, this whole thing was triggered when Pence, you know, announced that he was going to do his job and do it correctly and was not going to try to just unilaterally decide not to accept electoral votes like Donald Trump wanted him to. So to some degree, you came back and all of these folks did the right thing. But I want to be careful about giving too much credit there.
Not all.
Oh, yes. Not all of them. Not all of them. Cruz and Hawley and a bunch of people.
And Rick Scott and Matt Gaetz in the House afterwards after the Senate, you know, voted against it. Yeah.
Yes. The objections did get brought, although less than they had planned to. and so you had, I believe it was 8 senators in the end and what was the total number in the House? Like
120.
120, yeah. Maybe even slightly more between the different votes. You know, there were a lot of Republicans who still came out on the side of let's advocate for these provenly bogus objections to what happened during the election and try to throw out electoral votes.
Yeah, but like you said, you know, look, these objections and the people that's changed their tune.
Yes.
The one thing about the people that changed their tune that doesn't excuse them is they knew this was all a lie the entire time.
Yes.
I mean, it's a reason why, yes, okay, I do appreciate that Lindsey Graham went on the floor and specifically called out every specific lie because he did, okay?
But, you know, he could have done that 2 months ago.
Exactly. He could have done that 2 months ago. And he called out the lies specifically as every Democrat had been, and they all stayed in fucking silence. And they stayed in fucking silence. And but he went on the floor that night, and he did finally call it out, specific one by specific one, because the thing that I liked about his speech more than the others was that he went through specific allegations. Oh, 18,000 under 18-year-olds voted in Georgia, they said. Okay, show me one. Show me 10. Show me whatever.
Right.
No evidence. And the same for every other allegation. He went through them and showed how they kept telling him these allegations, how he said, okay, show me the evidence. And as happened in every court case where they just put a whole bunch of accusations without not one shred of evidence, okay? And that was the reality. But they let this get to that point. They could have stopped it earlier, and for political gain, they did not. And so we got 5 people dead now over this.
The one person whose speech I give immense that I actually give credit for is Mitt Romney.
Because he was consistent.
He said all of those things, but he's been saying them ever since the election.
Correct.
You know,
yes.
He maybe gave it like a week or so for the first couple of things to be resolved. But, you know, once it was clear, it was clear. And Mitt Romney very early on was like, yeah, Joe Biden won.
I mean, he gets credit for not only his speech, but the fact that there's some fucking MAGA head that posted a video going and harassing Mitt Romney at an airport over what he's been saying. And you know what? Mitt Romney basically just restated very calmly and very politely and very, you know, correctly just told, look, this is the Constitution. We're going to honor Constitution. We're a country of laws. And I'm not, you know, and this is what it is. And we're not going to just do what you're saying. Even though this person was like screaming, yelling, insulting him, he didn't go and he didn't do what I would have done. That's probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but yeah, he was the one person that was consistent throughout. Even like some of the people that didn't vote for the objections, like Marco Rubio, still, when he gave his speech, he still started with the usual pandering bullshit, whatever, whatnot, to these folks. He couldn't just let it. He couldn't just, you know, just say.
What one of the most powerful parts of Romney's speech were, you know, no, like an audit is not going to satisfy anybody. You know how you'll satisfy
exactly.
people?
Exactly.
Tell them the truth.
Right. Right.
Because all of these damn people have either been actively lying.
Right.
About what happened in the election and making up these things that, you know, are clearly disproven, are not true, did not happen, whatever, or have been strategically passively silent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? And are a few of them actually deluded enough to believe the bullshit? Probably.
A few. Not many.
But a few. But most of them knew exactly what they were doing.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and you got all of the rubes out there who believe what they're told, who make the mistake of trusting these people.
Yep.
And, you know, just like we were talking about the people invading the Capitol, you know, yeah, you got a few core people who know exactly what they're doing and have a plan, but you got a lot of people who are just making the horrible mistake of trusting the wrong people.
Or trusting the people that are saying what they want to hear.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yes, very, very much so. I mean, I don't want to take blame off these people. Like, you know, it's not like the rest of us haven't heard these lies too.
Agreed. But it's a look, I was thinking today about the fact that, you know, when Louise Mensch was saying all of this bullshit about the secret servers and all of this shit and the secret, like
the marshal of the Supreme Court or whatever it was. Alpha Bank, damn it.
Right, and all this bullshit. And you and I are like, sure, it sounds great, right? But did we believe any of it? No. And you know what? It would have really gone, you know, perfectly according to what we want it to be. But you know what? I'm not stupid enough to go and believe any of this shit. I saw it, I'm like, well, it'd be amazing if it's true, but man. Just sounds too far-fetched. I mean, it's just no.
Now, to be clear, you know, there was a lot of shenanigans going on with that stuff, and the Mueller report went into a lot of that detail. But the crazies like Louise Mensch were crazy.
Correct.
And it was clear almost from the very beginning that they were crazy.
Crazy.
And I would go beyond crazy. You know, it's not only crazy. I think part of it was intentional disinformation from the other direction. You know, but that's why you look at various sources and you try to confirm things and you judge the reliability and, you know, okay, they say something once that sounds good. Oh, okay. Let's look into that. But once they get it wrong over and over and over again, you know, frankly, you don't even need that many times getting it wrong before you're like,
yeah, you don't need that many for me. But these people, look, these people are so fucking gullible, Sam. I mean, these people are so fucking gullible because they will get it wrong, and then the moment that they come up with some other fucking lie to cover up for the wrong one, they're like, oh yeah, you see? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, how can you be so stupid?
Yeah, I've seen a number of screenshots from Parler and from various MAGA discussion groups and stuff today, where these people seem utterly confused at this point and actually very mad at Donald Trump, to be honest, a lot of them.
A lot of them now.
Because they're like, you know, what the hell? We came to Washington because there was supposed to be a plan. And we got there and we took over the Capitol. And then Donald Trump's telling us to leave? What? This was supposed to be, where was the plan? This was supposed to result in, you know, Pence was supposed to throw out all these electoral votes and Donald Trump was supposed to still win.
Right.
And they're like, what happened? Why did he betray us? Is he, like, compromised? You know, they're talking about whether or not his little hostage video, which I agree looks like a hostage video.
Well, I agree. It also looks like a hostage video, but
where he started admitting that, you know, oh, okay, there will be a transition on January 20th, you know, whether that's a deep fake and whether it's not true and whether, you know, there's still a plan and whether they should all come back on the 19th and 20th to make sure that Donald Trump stays president. You know, there are a few of them that look like their response to this is they're actually starting to realize maybe we got snookered. But there are a lot of them, like you said, who are trying to figure out, well, what's the next step in the grand plan?
Yeah, that's what they're expecting, that next step in the grand Q plan. Yes, I know. And I think they're going to be sorely disappointed.
Well, you know, and that's one thing is, you know, we talked about people missing the warning signs because it was all over the discussion boards, all over the internet in plain sight. Not even like in secret groups or anything, like a URL that you or I or anybody could go to.
Correct.
Where they were planning on this stuff on the 6th, where they were going to go down to the Capitol and potentially do stuff, and including saying that they were going to be violent. There is now that kind of talk about the inauguration itself, and they better be taking that fucking seriously. I mean,
I expect an armed camp out there.
Yes.
I fully expect, you know, a complete frickin' military, just, you know, this thing has to look like a fucking armed fortress. Agreed?
My tweet on this was just saying the inauguration itself better be the most fucking locked down secure event in the history of Washington, D.C.
Agreed.
And, you know, look, I expect it will be. Nobody wants a repeat of this. Nobody wants a situation where, you know, some violent event happens at the inauguration. And they've got 12 days to prepare, and they're going to. I got to believe they're going to. And you will not see a repeat of any of this nonsense on that day.
I think there may be a big protest.
Quite possibly, but it'll be kept far away.
Right. Exactly. That's what I expect. Yes.
You know, so now we started to talk a little bit about, you know, McConnell and Lindsey Graham and these other folks sort of, and now, and in the administration itself, we've had a whole bunch of resignations. You know, it's the proverbial rats fleeing the sinking ship, you know, and all kinds of people saying, you know, I can't believe the behavior in the last week. I'm out of here. And, you know, I can't believe Donald Trump's behavior. It's inexcusable. Now you say that? I mean, I understand this was a huge event, but like there's been so much else over the last 4 years. Like, I have very little patience to give people a lot of credit for jumping ship now.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's better than not, but
I mean, it's like somebody made this joke about, gee, how brave these people. Amazing. You know, I know that I myself have unlocked my seatbelt just before we reached a gate on an airplane.
Yes.
I mean, which is basically the equivalent of what these fucking people are doing. Oh my God, resigning in protest when there are less than 12 days left in the fucking administration.
Yes. You are not going to have a job in a couple weeks anyway.
Right. Like,
big freaking act of bravery there.
Wow, Betsy, you are so brave.
You know, including a couple cabinet officials who potentially, if they really wanted to be brave, they'd be invoking the 25th right now. Yeah, but no. And like all of these Congress people making these, statements, like Lindsey Graham and McConnell and such, they could have made forceful statements like this right after the election. They waited to cross Donald Trump until the last possible moment. And it's at the point where you're like, look, sorry, you've exhausted like thousands of pointless lawsuits. I mean, it wasn't thousands. It was like 60 something.
Yeah.
But, it really was the last possible moment to do this.
Well, they were all deathly afraid of him.
They were all deathly afraid of him. And, I remember saying years ago, look, if the Republican elected officials ever abandon Trump, it will not happen in a trickle. It will happen very quickly. When they decide it is no longer politically advantageous to be in this embrace with him, they will all start dropping off very, very quickly.
Now, of course, my question is, look, we talk about, we've been talking about some people now moving towards an impeachment early or something or whatever.
Yeah, that was going to be the next topic. Yep.
I was going to ask a question. Do you think that any of this has moved the opinion polls on Trump?
Say no.
I'm going to go and can I say that once again? I mean, because my faith in any of these fucking people that voted for him is so little that I'm just like going to speculate that a big fat no.
So I'm looking to see if there are any. This happened on the 6th, right?
There's barely any polls.
There are two polls that include some time after the 6th. There's a Politico poll that has him down by -22.
But the previous one from Politico, I looked up, was -16.
Right. But there's also a Rasmussen poll that only shows him down by 2.
Yeah, but that, whatever. But the Rasmussen poll always shows him down by 2. I mean, that fucking poll never moves. It's the same data. I think they just copy and paste it every week.
And just to be clear, this is not, this is only partially after this happened, not entirely after this happened. So he's still well within the range that he has been.
Right.
Will it get worse in the next week? Maybe slightly. Do I see it? I don't know.
You have basically the same faith that I do, that even after this, the MAGA shitheads are still,
Well, the one exception of that is that we have said before that, the one time where Donald Trump's approval rating really went down, it seemed to be because he wasn't being racist enough.
Correct.
So you might get some people moving to disapprove because they're upset that he's giving in.
Oh, that's right. It's a good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah. That's his Achilles heel, not being racist enough. Fucking year are we living in?
Okay, so let's talk about the 25th and let's talk about impeachment. One of the things over the last couple of days I've been railing about is a whole bunch of Democrats were coming out calling for Mike Pence and the cabinet to utilize the 25th. And I tweeted a bunch of times about this, that basically, like, it was completely performative, because let's say you actually had a scenario where the cabinet was really thinking about that. And apparently, at least Pompeo and Mnuchin were actually talking about whether or not this would be something to do. But if you had a real effort bubbling up in the cabinet to do this, the one way to guarantee you torpedo it is make it seem like the Democrats were demanding it and you'd be giving in to the Democrats by doing it. And so, like, every time a new Democrat said, we think you should invoke the 25th, Pence, you should invoke the 25th, I'm like, if there was any chance whatsoever they were going to do that, it's gone now. You know, because and so you know, okay, because also it was a stretch anyway. Because look, it's 12 days now. It was 14 days when this stuff started. It's much easier to just say, let's just power through the next 2 weeks. We can do this. We can get through. We can run interference. We can keep him from doing anything too damaging, and it'll all be over soon enough. You know, and so we did get confirmation at one point. Pence answered a reporter's question that basically said, no, he's not considering that at all.
And everybody on background has talked to a lot of these people, and they have all basically said that there's not enough cabinet members to do so. I mean, and, well, so many of them, so we got so many people like resigning with whatever. So I don't know.
Well, and look, the whole thing with Donald Trump's cabinet, even more so than normal cabinets, is they were selected for loyalty to him. Anybody who wasn't selected for that purpose is long gone at this point. You know, it's all about loyalty to him. The idea that you'd have a critical mass of the cabinet decide to oust him in this way with 12 days to go, it incredibly hard to imagine. Like, in order to get there, you really would have to have a situation where there was no question. Like, Donald Trump is running around the Oval Office smearing his feces on the wall while threatening a nuclear strike.
I still don't think that would be enough. A nuclear strike. I thought there used to be, well, in the movies way back when they showed a president trying to do a nuclear strike, didn't there have to be a person to confirm it?
No. That is at the missile launch site. There have to be two of the lower level people to both verify that the order from the president had come in appropriately. Like, at the presidential level, there is no second check. The president is the only one who can make that call. And no one can second guess him legally. Now, the thought, you know, so if President Trump decides to order an all-out nuclear strike on London tomorrow, you know, you have to stop that, there's no legal way to stop that. The way that it would hopefully actually get stopped is that the people who would have to carry out that order would disobey that order, even though it was potentially a legal order.
Jesus Christ.
And, you know, you don't really want to have the scenario where, you know, random military people can just decide on their own say-so to ignore a lawful order by the president. Now, you could maybe make some sort of say that, you know, hey, the president ordering a, you know, nuclear strike on a friendly country in the absence of wartime is an illegal order. But I don't think there's actually any law that says that.
Well, let's be clear. We're talking about crimes against humanity and other stuff, right? You know, so don't we have that kind of stuff where there are those kinds of things that a military person consider an illegal order?
Look, I mean, I think in the real life scenario, like something absolutely blatant, like Trump wants to nuke London, or hell, you know, Trump wants to nuke San Francisco to get back at Pelosi. You know, the military would not do it. The legalities would get worked out later. Whoever was in that chain that was required to relay that order, at some point, somebody would just say no. You know, and it would not happen. Now, if there was something a lot more ambiguous, like, you know, there's some random event that happens in the Persian Gulf and Trump decides he wants to respond with an airstrike on Tehran, not necessarily nuke or just a regular airstrike on Tehran, you know, that's a lot more ambiguous.
Yeah, right.
You know? But anyway, yes. So look, that's obviously a lot of people are worried about, like, look, Trump is unhinged. What's he going to do in the last few days? You know, people are the most dangerous when they're defeated, especially people that with this kind of narcissistic complex Donald Trump seems to have. And so, like, we're in for potentially a very tense couple weeks. Now, frankly, even with that, like, the most likely scenario, I continue to think, is just that, you know, he didn't like it, but he read the little statement, he's admitted he's leaving, he's going to fly off to Mar-a-Lago somewhere, and we're just not going to hear more from him at that point until after. You know, he's going to make some noise, but he's not going to. I'm hesitant to say that he's not going to do some sort of military thing, because of course that's tempting fate. But you know, I honestly,
yeah, please don't say.
I you know, it seems like the more likely scenario is, you know, he's going to sit watching TV, stewing in his anger for the next 12 days.
Yeah, I think my biggest concern is not him like starting a war or something like that. I'm more concerned about another country taking advantage of the situation with such a mess at the White House to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not going to give a shit.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's lots of opportunity. But frankly, there's been lots of opportunity for a long time. It's clear Donald Trump has never been focused on this stuff.
But I think at this point is probably a worse, more compromising moment than we have ever been.
Oh, no question. No question.
I mean, it's been bad ever since Election Day, because he has been so detached from everything and just focusing on this horse shit, okay? But I think that right now, it's an even more... We are in a vulnerable situation as a nation right now.
Yeah.
With Trump at the helm. We have a president right now that if some international incident of some massive scale happens, that we have a president that has lost his marbles.
Yes.
And I don't know what the hell is going to be the reaction. And I that leaves me very unsettled.
Yeah. Which I guess brings us to the impeachment stuff we were talking about. The Democrats seem very angry, very ready to move forward on impeachment. Both Nancy Pelosi and Schumer basically gave Pence an ultimatum, do the 25th or we'll impeach again.
Here's the thing. Even if it's not before the inauguration, I think that the impeachment needs to happen. This guy cannot be allowed to take federal office again.
Well, so let's go through this. I think it's almost clear at this point that the Democrats have the votes to impeach in the House. They are angry and ready to do this.
Correct.
There's, you know, nearly enough have already signed on as a co-sponsor of the damn thing. I've heard of one Democrat in the House so far saying that he's not on board, and one Republican saying they are. And so it sounds like, according to the most recent timetable I heard as of when we're recording, that there will be articles of impeachment introduced in the House on Monday. They are going to fast track any debate that happens on this. There was some talk of a vote as early as potentially Wednesday. Now, we got 12 days left, you know, so even waiting till Monday is a big chunk of that time, right?
Yeah, I know.
But it looks like the House is probably going to move forward unless we have, you know, a surprise Trump resignation in the meantime. I think Trump going on camera and giving that pseudo confession did mute a lot of the movement of Republicans, though. Because look, you know, because the House doing it again, like we saw a year ago, doesn't actually remove the president unless the Senate goes along. And question is, are Republicans moving? And there was certainly some indication that Republicans were moving in that direction. But I think even the Republicans who were, like, the fact that the president is sort of backing down a little bit gives them the, okay, fine, we just have 12 days. We can just wait it out. He'll be gone anyway.
But I think, listen, the think about it this way, okay? if you're a Republican senator,
yeah,
right? If you have enough votes, enough Republicans to vote to impeach him,
yeah,
and you have political aspirations,
it gets him out of the way for 2024.
Exactly. So I would think that right now, if there's a perfect moment for them to fucking just go and impeach the son of a bitch.
Except for the calculation that they have to worry about how much backlash will they get for going against him. Now, the gamble is it's going to be a lot less now than it was a couple weeks ago. But
if he's not running, you're not running against him, then what, you know, what the fuck? I mean, so what?
Well, but you will have an opponent in that race who hasn't gone against him and who says you screwed up.
Yeah, I get that. But still, I mean, you know, it's not the same thing.
It's a complicated dynamic. It's a complicated dynamic. I think it depends on the candidate and the positions they've taken out. I mean, you obviously had Cruz sort of doubling down on Trump, you know, being one of the objectors. You had somebody like Senator Cotton, who went the opposite direction and said, this is bullshit. This is over. And so they're clearly... The lines are being drawn for the future of the GOP. You know, there's been some talk, as usual, about does it actually get ripped apart and become two parties? I think that's somewhat unlikely. It would be a nice outcome, but I think it's somewhat unlikely. I think it's more likely that just like you have the Sanderites and the Clintonites battling within the Democratic Party, on the Republican side, you'll have... You know, the ones who want to restore the Republican Party to what it was before Trump and those who want to take it further in a Trumpist direction. And there'll be a battle there for a while.
I've heard a number of those talking about, talking today on TV, you know, some interviews and whatever. And I'm just like, I'm a little bit like, man, you know, I don't know. I don't think that anybody really gives a shit about this horse shit, about small government, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? The usual Republican bullshit lines.
I think the last 5 years have shown that portion of the party who might want to go back to...
It's tiny.
Is tiny. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a handful of election officials. There are a handful of elected officials who might fit into that category. But the level of support they have out in the real world is tiny. Yeah. Now, maybe it'll grow a little bit after this, but I think a little bit is the key word. You know, the driving elements behind the Republican Party have shown themselves, you know, to be the racist assholes.
Yep.
You know, And so success in the party is tied to making those people happy.
Yep.
And so I think you'll see a lot of the Romney type folks. I mean, fundamentally, they are going to have a choice. They are going to be out at some point, or they are not going to be Republicans. And, you know, maybe like certain like. You know, Romney's in Utah. Utah's a little bit different, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there's different local exceptions. But I think just like, you know, the liberal Republicans that used to exist 40 years ago, it's inevitable that they're a dying breed and they're going away. It's just a question of how long different ones of them can hang on.
So did anybody say that, you know, finally Trump was presidential after he gave that speech, read that hostage speech on TV?
I don't know that anybody used those exact words, but there was at least one CNN commentator or anchor who said, this is a new tone from Trump.
I'm going to fucking punch her face in.
It's like, it's so fucking useless. Are you goddamn kidding me?
I mean, come on, man. The fuck is wrong with these people? Come on.
Yeah. Whether impeachment will go anywhere, the question really comes down to whether enough Republicans have decided that it's time to, that it's in, frankly, let's put it all in terms of self-interest. Do they believe It is now finally at this point in their political advantage to ditch Trump.
I think the answer is yes.
You think there are enough for a conviction, which would take, we need 67 votes in the Senate.
A couple of people. I think the answer is yes. I'm not sure if that translates into enough people voting for the impeachment, but there has been several people repeatedly saying that there are enough senators right now that are fed up enough that have said, fuck it.
So let's just look, I would be really eager to see the detailed whip counts. One of the things is, you know, in terms of the timeline and, you know, a lot of people criticizing Pelosi for not moving quicker. She knows how to count votes. So maybe part of that is trying to understand exactly how many Republican senators are willing to jump over. George Conway tweeted earlier today that he believes they have the 67 votes for a conviction in the Senate. But I've seen a lot of other people basically reply to that with, really? Where the hell are you getting that?
Well, listen, I will say this. George Conway has not been shown to be a bullshitter.
Yeah.
So he's getting that from somewhere. Now, obviously, that may change, and people's like feelings and perspective on it may change. But obviously, he's hearing, a lot more enthusiasm for it than he had heard for it before.
Potentially. I think that's over-optimistic, though. And again, unless things change.
No, he may be over-optimistic. He may be taking people and saying that, and you know, people maybe aren't as firm. But what I'm saying is that I don't think it... George Conway didn't just make it up. I don't think he's one to just make something up like that. I think he obviously must have heard from a lot of people in a way that he hadn't heard from before. Okay? Now, whether it translates into an exact vote count, as he said, I don't know. And it may be somewhat optimistic. But what I'm saying is it's probably not just made up, is what I'm getting to.
And there's a momentum question here, too, because things have been building rapidly over the last couple of days. Like I said, I fully anticipate by the time I get this show out, things will have changed dramatically again, you know, and it depends on what Donald Trump does. I mean, frankly, Donald Trump issuing that concession video, whatever it was. I mean, and people have pointed out he never actually conceded. He just sort of acknowledged that there would be a new administration on the 20th.
People are getting a little bit technical. I mean, I that's a concession. It's as close as you're going to get.
It's as close as you're going to get from the man. He's not going to say Biden won fair and square.
Biden won. I lost. I'm a loser. No, he's not going to say that.
Yeah, he's not going to say that. But, you know, but the point is he made that speech, which I saw some reporting earlier today that, yes, indeed, it was because a whole bunch of people on his staff basically said, if you don't do this, you will be removed, or at least they're going to try to. And so he gave that little speech. If the man manages to shut up and be quiet and not do anything incendiary for the next few days, then the Republicans who might have been thinking about that will be like, yeah, we don't need to. We can just wait this out. We don't have to make that call. And then they can run out the clock at the very least, even if the House impeaches. They can run out the clock until the Democrats have control of the Senate and Biden is already president, and the dynamics change a little bit. You'd mentioned the possibility of, even if it doesn't get him out of office early, removing the ability to run for president again. And I think, you know, those are different questions, right? So if they try to do this and rush it through before the 20th to try to have a few days of a Pence presidency, there's an entirely different set of choices for Republicans than if they wait. Even if they hit the impeachment, McConnell can like run out the clock till the 20th, and they come back in at the very end of this month to consider the possibility of just saying he can't run for office again. That's a different question, and the dynamics will be different there.
Yes, agreed.
Even then, I'm not sure they have the votes, but it's more likely they have the votes in that scenario than they have the votes to remove him early.
Yeah, I know. I know. I actually think that the only scenario really that's plausible is exactly what you described. It's them having the votes for him not to run again rather than remove him before, the end of the term.
And even there, I feel like if, let's say it played out that way, you know, the Democrats actually impeach in this coming week, because if they're going to do it, it has to be in the next few days. And then the Senate holds off on considering it until after the 20th. By then, things will cool off a little bit. It won't seem as urgent because he's not president anymore. It'll seem, there'll be the argument that says, we don't need to remove his ability to serve as president. The voters should be the ones to decide that themselves. And the urgency will dissipate and you won't get that either. I mean, you'll still have, you know, this quote unquote historical stain of being the only president impeached twice. But you still might not get that. And that's even with, and we haven't mentioned, of course, like the thing that would have dominated the news if this hadn't happened, the Democrats won both races in Georgia. So they will have the majority again. A very tenuous one, but they will have a majority again. That will also change the dynamics of a Senate trial, by the way. You know, if you remember our last impeachment trial, the Republicans basically stopped any further investigation, any witnesses, any this, any that, and basically made it get to the acquittal as fast as possible, as fast as humanly possible. With the Democrats in charge, they could use it as a vehicle for a more in-depth examination of things. But even there's some questions about whether that would be the politically advantageous thing for the Democrats to do, whether that's how they want to use their capital at the beginning of a new administration, or whether they'd rather be spending their time, you know, passing new COVID relief and maybe a Voter Rights Act, things like that. Where do they really want to spend their time and effort? Is it really going to be on 2 weeks of another impeachment trial after the man's not even president anymore?
I think the concern obviously is related to what's going to happen afterwards. Look, this guy has, I think that there is a serious concern about whether agitation from him will continue. And, you know, as to whether this will cease and how do you just prevent that? And I think that that's the problem.
The other part of this dynamic is how much is really an expectation to impeach and convict, versus this is a pressure tactic to try to get the man to resign.
Right.
And
yeah,
you know, that ego wise, that seems hard, but you could see scenarios people have talked about, the deal that they offered Spiro Agnew that basically said, look, resign, get the hell out of here, and we won't go after you for all the crimes we know you're guilty of. You could potentially have a deal with Pence saying, look, resign, and I will pardon you cleanly, because, you know, Trump is talking about the self-pardon. The reporting this week has increased about how even after this event, his consideration of the self-pardon has increased. But there's lots of legal ambiguity on self-pardon and whether that would hold up and blah, blah, blah. Pence could say there'd be no legal question whatsoever if I do the pardon. Resign. I will pardon you. Just get the hell out. Are there conversations like that going on? I don't know. I suspect if that happens, it will all happen very quickly. But right now, and this has obviously changed dramatically in the last couple of days, but at this very moment, if I had to predict what is going to happen in the next couple of weeks, which is a fool's game, and I'm going to be wrong, but is that the House will move an impeachment. The Senate will basically run out the clock, and Donald Trump will fill out his full term. And then the Democrats will get to decide what they want to do with that impeachment with this in the Senate afterwards, after Biden's president. And they're going to want a dispatch of it fairly quickly, and not make it a long drawn out process. And if I had to guess, the Senate would not vote to remove his ability to run for office. I don't know. That's my guess right now. But like I said, things are changing rapidly. I'm probably going to be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, let's talk about, I wanted to mention something else. You know, because we've talked about, you know, the issues in terms of the 25th Amendment, which we don't believe is going to happen, impeachment and timeline of things and so forth. I think I don't want to leave this element out because I know it's not just me, but I spoke to a lot of people, including myself, about this.
You spoke to yourself?
No, not a lot of people. Just that felt just like myself. Okay, about this.
Okay,
this is a very emotional event that transpired this week. This wasn't just some news event. You know, I was trying to work through this on the hell Wednesday. This happened, right? Wednesday, yes. And, I mean, I get on a phone call with an executive on the phone, and they were telling me that, I mean, they weren't able to do any work. They couldn't pay any attention. They were just glued to the events and just absolute shock and just disbelief and then just, you know, just utter, I mean, it's just with a lot of raw emotion surrounding this.
Oh, well, I mean, this started happening and I finished up a couple quick things and maybe answered one or two texts, but basically I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I had an appointment for my hand that afternoon, which luckily meant my work calendar was mostly blocked out already. I moved that appointment out a week and I closed my work laptop and I was done. Yeah, I shut all that stuff off, did not look at it again until the next morning, because I was like, there's no way right now I'm doing anything else other than focusing 100% on what's going on in DC.
Yeah, and I know that it left me, I mean, I was...
And by the way, there were emails set out at work from, you know, people several levels up from me about, you know, hey, we know there's significant events going on, very disturbing, blah, blah, blah. Take care of your mental health. Do what you need to do, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, those were, you know, official notices sent out from management on that kind of thing.
Well, we didn't do any of that, but I was on the phone with some of our other executives, you know, related to. You know, some other stuff. We just really couldn't focus much on whatever the hell was going on. I will say that I think it left people very. I know it left me very stressed. It's left me very disturbed all week.
Mm-hmm.
I have been just feeling very anxious and just not well. I gotta be honest, yesterday I felt ill from this whole thing.
Yeah. Watching some of what was going on at the Capitol, I mean, I fully admit I was brought to the verge of tears a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's like, just, yes, this is happening. This is happening now. It really is as bad as it seems. And by the way, all the folks who are warning about this kind of stuff for the last 5 years, you know, yep, they were right. Now, could it have been worse? Obviously, yes. It could have been much worse.
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
But this is bad enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, No, it's just...
I mean, yeah, it is bad enough as it is. Yes. Could it have been worse? Yes. Always say, never say it could, you know, it couldn't be worse, because it always can be. Are showing the Washington Post just actually posted some video of the shooting of this lady.
Yeah. And Bell and Cat also had a very detailed reconstruction, including synchronizing multiple videos from different angles. And I mean, there were rumors at first that she was mistakenly shot when she pulled out a cell phone and somebody thought it was a gun. That's not what happened. She was one of the ones rushing, trying to break into the house chambers.
Yes. Yep. And she just wouldn't stop. And there was a secure area where they had, you know, people, and they're, yeah, I just don't understand this person. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, the woman who was killed, you look at her social media, she was clearly a Q head. A bunch of these people who have been interviewed, there was the one quote in The Nation from the one woman saying, "I don't understand what the police are doing. They're supposed to be shooting at Black Lives Matter, not us. We're patriots."
Right.
These folks are not living in the same universe as we are. Their understanding of what's going on in the world and it is just, I mean, it's deluded. Of course they would say we're the ones who are deluded, but.
Well, but it's fed, but it's being fed by, you know, as Mitt Romney said, it's just being fed by the fucking constant barrage of lies.
Yeah.
I mean, Mitt was the best one that articulated it. You just keep lying to them and you don't tell them the fucking truth.
And this is a part of, like, you know, like I was saying, all of these people reporting on what's happening on the conservative discussion boards, there's a lot of chaos there right now because of the divergence between a bunch of people who are finally sort of saying, hey, wait, none of what they told us is true.
Yep.
And are trying to deal with that versus people who are diving even deeper into the nonsense to try to explain it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's unclear to me. I think we are in a very, very dangerous period. These next 12 days, we are not out of danger yet. Yes,
no.
Yes, the thing at the Capitol that happened on Wednesday is over. But
we are not out of danger.
We got a bunch of crazies who are madder than ever. Some of them are now mad at Donald Trump. A good deal of them blame Biden for this whole thing. They are angry and lashing out and don't know what to do with themselves and are potentially going to cause lots of problems. You got the president himself, who people are all uncertain about his mental state and what he's going to do. There was just another statement out of the White House in the last few minutes as we're recording, by the way, with the White House saying, you know, an impeachment at this time would not be productive and would not help in unifying the country or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
God, Jesus Christ. Like, you've worried about that shit over the last 4+ fucking years.
I mean, and look, this also, I guess, in this last topic before we wrap it up, and unfortunately, this show will have to be a little bit shorter than usual because we're recording during the day, and both Yvonne and I think, have other things to do coming up shortly. But the whole notion of the new administration comes in and wants to look forward, not back. What happened this week just puts an exclamation point on why you have to look back. You cannot let this kind of stuff go unaddressed, because if there are no consequences, and I'll go further, if they're not severe consequences for this kind of stuff, not just on the random people who, like, you know, stole something from Nancy Pelosi's office, but from the people who were instigating all this and pushing all this. If there are no severe consequences, it will happen again and it will be worse next time.
Yep. 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 The consequences have to be severe.
So yes, the Biden administration, when they come in, cannot look past all this stuff. They have to dig into what all of the wrongdoing during the Trump administration on all sides, certainly related to this incident, but not just that. And they're going to want to not do that. They are going to want to, you know, Biden himself said earlier today, you know, the Congress can do what they feel is right on this. I'm concentrating on COVID. And okay. He needs to concentrate on COVID. I understand that. It's important. He needs to do that. But he can't ignore this stuff either.
No.
He can't just, you know, we've talked before about how the Obama administration, when they first came in, decided, you know, look forward, not back. We're not going to worry about, you know, the violations of international conventions that allowed the Bush administration to, you know, to do torture and all of these other things that that were potentially something that was a legal violation that should have been gone after. They decided not to do that. They decided to turn the other way, that it would be counterproductive, that they wanted to get and trying to get things done and blah, blah, blah. And arguably that led to an environment where it was more likely that somebody like Trump could just operate knowing that there wasn't anything going to happen. This time around, there has to be accountability, and I know it's going to be politically painful, and I know it will take away from other efforts, but I say it has to happen, but I still feel like there are huge numbers of people who want to move on as quickly as they can and get back to pretending this never happened.
Right.
And certainly the Republicans are fully in that mode at this point. They all want to, like, get their distance themselves from all this as quickly as they can. Even the people who, like, yeah. And like people like Ted Cruz saying, oh no, I bear no responsibility, blah, blah,
they
blah.
Want to get back to worrying about the deficit.
Oh yeah. The deficit.
They want to get back to worrying about
the deficit. They've cared so much about for the last four years.
No, they're really concerned. They're really concerned about the deficit.
No,
I mean, I'm saying it, I'm laughing, but it's true. This is their new plan. Now they're going to fucking worry about the deficit.
Yeah. Now they're going to worry about the deficit. They're going to worry about Hunter Biden. They're going to, like, pretend that, you know, any even minor thing that comes up. I mean, you remember a couple weeks ago, one of the Biden appointees, you know, called Republicans a bad name, and they're all like, ah, you've got to be kidding me. After the last 4 years.
Yes.
Yes.
A bad name. He called them fuckers. Okay. And you know what? He was right. Okay. So I don't know what the hell. You know what? He was mild.
I saw someone tweet today. Is it okay to call them deplorables now? Look. All of this has been wide out there in the open, you know, and look, even Republican, I mean, you've got so many clips of, like, all of these Republican senators, you know, especially the ones who were running for president, like Cruz and Rubio and Lindsey Graham and all those folks. If you pull out the clips from 2015 and 2016, when they were running against Donald Trump, they all knew this too. If you look at what they said this kind of stuff would happen. They pointed to all of Trump's instabilities and all of his corruption and all of his problems. And, you know, Lindsey Graham famously said, if we elect Donald Trump, it'll destroy the Republican Party or whatnot. And they all talked about how he was unstable, corrupt, blah, blah, blah. Every single freaking one of them made statements like that. And then as soon as he got the nomination, or at the very latest, as soon as he actually won the presidency, they all did a 180 and were all like, oh, he's fine, he's wonderful, he's great, blah, 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 blah. That's all behind us now. You know, and a whole bunch of them are trying to flip that around again. Not Cruz, who's doubling down. But, like, yeah, they're trying to erase that and try to pretend that never happened. And I can't let them. know, I mean, God.
No. No, can't let them. No.
We by the way, have another Republican. We just had, so far, for impeachment. We've only had one Republican congressperson come out for that. But we now have a senator, Senator Lisa Murkowski in Alaska, calling on Trump to resign and also, quote unquote, questions her future as a Republican. You need more than that.
Well, we need more than that, but I think you might get more.
Yeah. I mean, things are moving quickly. I don't even know what, you know, the world will have changed again by the time we do our next show. Probably.
Oh, great. Well,
yeah.
All right. Well, listen, let's wrap it up. I think, it's enough for this week.
It's all so exhausting. It is so exhausting. You know, this is a shorter show than we normally do, but there was one topic of interest and that's it.
That's it.
Anything else? We'll save for later. We'll try to do that 2020 summary sometime.
Yep. Yeah, we're not gonna just abscond on our responsibility of, like, you know, passing or failing us to see how badly we did. We'll make sure that we're.
Yeah, but depending on news events, like if there's actually a slow news week.
Yeah, we may just, you know, like Sam said, maybe we'll just come up with a score. Well, just, you know, yeah, we'll just score ourselves.
You know, 12 more days, Yvonne. 12 more days.
12 more fucking days. Jesus fucking Christ. God's sakes. Jeez, motherfucker.
I imagine every single one of those days will be nuts.
Oh, God. This is going to be fucking.
Okay. That's it. Thank you for joining us for yet another Curmudgeon's Corner. Do I even have to say all the normal stuff? Here you go. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/curmudgeonscorner. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Abulsme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E. Yvonne is at I-M-B-O, at I-M-B-O-U. You can also email us. It's feedback@curmudgeons-corner.com. If you contact us a lot through all those ways, then we will invite you to our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, which is... No, it's not... It's not a URL. We will invite you to our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack if you talk to us a lot, or if you contribute $2 a month or more to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner.
But listen, but if you could contribute $200,000 a month, we would be far happier than $2 a month.
Yeah, I would have no objections to that donation level. We might even give you more than an invite to our Slack for that level.
We could be sending you mugs every week for $200,000 a month.
Yeah, all the mugs you want.
All the mugs you want.
Yes, at other levels on the Patreon, we do have other things like postcards and mugs and whatever. You can go to the Patreon and it says all of that somewhere. Patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. Other than that, and look, this is the first show in a long time. We haven't really talked about the pandemic. It's still getting worse. So yay on that, I guess. In the meantime, hey, everybody have a great week. If you know people who would like this show, tell them about it and review the show anywhere that does podcast reviews. And I already said, keep safe, have a good week. Watch the news. It's going to be a crazy between now and the inauguration is going to be crazy. So pay attention, and we'll be here to talk about it next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Later, Yvonne.
Later.